Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's that time again, Dr. Price, and it is probably the sunniest day we've had in Tulsa in weeks. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, I have to tell you, I am in agreement with that. I'm glad to be here. It's exciting to be here. You know how much I look forward to Thursdays. But you're right. I was looking out. I said, my goodness, the sun is especially bright here. That means God is shining on us. We're going to have a short show today, Ashley. Do you remember why?
Well, yes, we are at your Executive Apostleship Training Retreat. You know, I'm going to take it as a good sign from God that it's so bright and clear while we're handling apostleship. Because I tell you what, sometimes those storms try and kick up and blow us off the calendar. But today, clearly, God said, peace be still, and the heavens have opened. And that's why our show is only going to be an hour today, because you are in the middle of your training, but still want to touch your people.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to spend like 2 weeks because, you know, I miss them. I miss every one of them when we are separated. But I want to say to you, thank you for joining me. And for most importantly, even though we're going to be an hour, remember that you can go back to our blog talk and you can listen to all of the shows again and again and again. You can get prayer and insight and revelation and join your faith to what's already been addressed by some other people. You know, Ashley, I always say that God speaks publicly for a reason. When he speaks in a public venue or a public forum, it is because what he is saying pertains to many, many more people than the person being addressed in the moment. I appreciate our callers for that reason. They give us an opportunity to address what God is doing, and to speak to an issue that is affecting more than one or two people. I can't even say how many times people write us back, Facebook us, or whatever, and they say, you know, I was going to ask a question, or I was going to do this or that, and when I heard this caller, or when I heard you address that issue with someone else, it just settled my question for me. So that's another reason why I love doing Blog Talk Radio every Thursdays. I love doing the Paula Price Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I want you all to continue to support us. I often say to you all, and I'm going to reiterate that, don't just tell your friends about us. Send them a link. You know, tell them, hey, click this link, and this is going to be great for you. So I'm looking forward to that. So, Ashley, are we not having a great time at the retreat? It is marvelous, and the Lord is showing off. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're doing what you do, which means he can do what he does. And as you observed and we observed here, a lot of alumni have returned from the September training, which is an outstanding sign, giving testimonies of how the training has directly impacted their life for the good, teaching them what apostleship is really all about, how to communicate that to their people, and so many other things that we just discussed over the opening session last night.
I know. Isn't it great? And I like the fact that it's very intimate, because that gives you a chance to deal with, you know, you train great leaders and high powers in very small venues and in very intimate settings, because God wants to touch the people who have to ignite what he's doing, as opposed to the people who multiply, replicate, or perpetuate. But anyway, so we're having a great time there. But I was thinking about what God wants to speak to us today, and so I'm going to switch my cap for a little bit. You know, I like doing that. It's a challenge, but I love doing it. And I would like to talk to those of you today who are, you know, waiting for what God wants you to do. I have been posting on Facebook for the last several weeks various instructions and counsel, wisdoms I like to call them, about entering your inheritance, getting what God wants you to do. And one of the things that God spoke to me about, and I'm going to probably pick it up again in a later show, is us doing our part. You know, we've been tricked out of our inheritance in some very subtle ways. And I can say that because we've been tricked into inactivity. In other words, we've been tricked into inactivity and passivity. We've been told, wait on the Lord. just wait on God. You know, just sit there and just pray and say and declare and claim, and it's going to show up. I cannot tell you how many countless Christians 20 years, 30 years down the road, naming, saying, decreeing, declaring, waiting on God, looking to the slogans or scripture passages taken out of context. And as a result, when we should have been working while it is day, we were not working because we were waiting, and we misunderstood waiting. And so I would like to encourage some of you all today who are in that camp, that group of thinkers, to work the works of God. Jesus said, I must work the works of God while it is day. And so God wants us to begin to recognize that faith without works is dead. And because we taught about redemptive faith being work-free, we've kind of confused it with reaping and harvest faith, which requires work. So faith without works is dead means that even though you had the faith to get saved, you believed God and you got saved and you said the prayer and you stayed holy and you know, you pay your tithes, you go to church, you do all of those things, and you're waiting on God for what's in your journal. Or you're waiting on God for a prophecy that you received 5 years ago, 10 years ago, still waiting on God, and you're kind of meandering through the kingdom, waiting for God, hoping to happen upon what the Lord said he would do. And some of you have done that for 5 years. Some of you have done it for decades and wondering, well, where is God? And more than a few are very disturbed with him right now. You're very upset with God. You're very resentful of having to do anything else because you feel that God hasn't given you what he said he would do. And so God wants you to know that while you're waiting, you need to work. For example, Joseph was in jail. Now, he had a prophecy. I'll tell you the truth. Joseph's prophecy was so astounding that it made everybody mad. I mean, he's talking about, I see myself as a cornstalk, and I see myself with my brothers, my mom and dad just bowing down in front of me. I'm a star that everybody's worshiping. I'm a cornstalk that people are surrendering to. And he tells this dream to his family. And he doesn't know any better because most of us didn't. We didn't know any better. You know, God gave us this phenomenal word. And we were so glad God knew us, our name and knew where we lived. We didn't have a problem with going and let everybody know, hey, God knows me. He knows me by name. And not only that, he told me some things. And he said this about me. And if you don't have any experience with God, not knowing the operation of his hand, you pretty much will say things and you don't realize that that's not necessarily something that should be noised abroad. I'll say that. So Joseph had that dream. He had it twice because, well, God was using everything. He wanted him to know, this is who you are to me. But Joseph goes, and he obviously his family turns on him because the greater the word, the more the status quo is going to resist it. That's just natural. And it's part of your development to be resistant. You have to get good at countering and overcoming resistance. Because if all it takes is somebody to just dig their heels in to get you to turn tail and run, you probably shouldn't have the great thing that the Lord is promising you or at least offering you. So you want to get good at resistance. You want to get good at your stand. You know, we've so taught about God's yoke being easy and life in Jesus being cozy that most people don't realize that that's what it is for the people who have either attained or who are not called to achieve. But for the folks who have to make things happen in God, who are called to build something great, to face off with God's adversaries and God's obstacles, that's not the good counsel. And so when you're sitting in those churches and those large venues listening to that stuff, weigh that against who God said you are. Because if God said to Joseph that you're going to have the stars and the sun and the moon, the worshiping you, and the corn stalks and the agriculture is going to bow down to you. If he said that to him, he did not expect Joseph to just sit on the side of the road and wait for it to happen. So Joseph goes and he falls upon that hard time. Test number one, training number one, resistance and resilience. Joseph, he's thrown in a pit. He's kidnapped and taken from his home, and he's thrown into a household situation trying to make ends meet, and he ends up becoming defrauded. So now he's got to deal with the theft and the deception and the treachery in the world. See, first the resistance. First he had to deal with envy, because the family envied him, you know, so he had to deal with envy. And then from there, he had to deal with being captive, so he had to deal with captivity. And then from captivity, he had to deal with treachery. Because, see, all of those are the real-world perspective we keep telling you in the from the pulpit is not real, and it is true. That's what you will face. Your blessings will always be at risk. That's how it works. So now he has to deal with treachery, and then after that, he goes, and because of the treachery, he goes, and he's literally incarcerated. He's got to be in jail. And, of course, but the word of God is working, so he keeps bringing him in favor with people of authority. Pay attention to the people that God constantly brings you in favor with, because those are the people that are signs of who you're going to be and where you're ultimately going to land when you're ready to be used of God. So he comes into favor in the prison, and he's promoted, and all the while he's learning, and he's working, and he's learning, and he's working, and he's gaining experience, and he's gaining wisdom. And then on the inside, God is talking to him, keeping the dream alive, no matter how serious the trials and oppositions might be. That's what's happening to Joseph as he's going forward. Finally, he goes, and he gets what we call false hope. You know, the false hope is like false labor. You go through all of the preparations, whatever, for nothing to happen. He gets false hope. He gets the butler and the baker land in jail. They both have dreams, and Joseph gets to work his gift. You see, you hear me when I say this. He gets to use his gift, and this gift, which should make a way for him and get him out of jail, doesn't happen. So the baker and the butler go, and he interprets the dream, and one's going to die, the other's going to live. Ultimately, the butler lives, and he's so glad to get out of jail. He, you know, the king's not angry with him any longer. He forgets that it was prophesied that he was going to get out of jail and he would be restored to his place. A lot of us out there got words, and we knew that, you know, when we got that word or we had an opportunity to work that word, that should have been the end day, and it wasn't. Joseph had more time to serve, and he had a few more things to learn. But also, in the backdrop, God was setting up the ultimate circumstance for him to not only get out of jail, but to fulfill the word of the Lord on his life. His training is done. He's been faithful. He's been determined. He's kept pushing and plowing. He continued to stay in favor with his people in authority. He kept serving. He did not sit in his room and refused to work because it didn't happen fast. He had to learn to deal with disappointment, deal with delays, to deal with setbacks, because when you're going to do great things for God or when God is about to put you in a high position, you are going to face all of those. Those are the realities of success, because we have it in our mind that success is a vacation, and it is not. Success is an attainment. And the more God adds to you, the more he will demand of you. He said that. Half of the things that we are believing about the king, they just are not God. They just aren't true. Finally, Pharaoh's land falls on hard time, and he has a dream. God is letting him know this dream is coming. And so he has a dream, and all of a sudden the butler remembers, I know a guy. Somebody's about to say to you very soon, I know a person, I know a guy, I know a woman, I know a man, I know a church, I know a minister, I know a prophet, I know a preacher, I know somebody that I've crossed paths with who can answer this. And that's what happened. Throughout Scripture, God uses dreams that he gives to people in authority to promote and elevate others. Isn't that a powerful thing, knowing the operation of his hand? One day we're going to have a whole training on how God really operates, because we know how we would do it if we were God, but then there is a whole wisdom to be gained from how God really operates. So the brother, he said, call him, he's in jail. Knows just where to find him. God got him in jail so he could be found at the right day. He's in jail, goes to get Joseph, unjustly accused, unfairly incarcerated, neglected and abused, but he goes to get him. They clean him up, get him ready. He tells a dream. He interprets it. And what does he use all of those years of preparation, all of the upsets, the setups, the setbacks, all of the abuses, the envy, the hostility, everything, because resistance comes with promotion. It comes with elevation. And we don't teach you all how to deal with the resistance that is inherent. We just tell you how to blame it. We just blame it all on the devil, and we just blame it all on our childhood. We blame it all on our experiences or some sort of tragedy, and we go on. But that's not how God prepares a champion. And if you're going to be one of his champions in the days to come, and many of you listening to me right now are marked for that, you're going to have to get good at dealing with the resistance that is normal, dealing with the opposition that comes along with elevation, because the two come hand in glove. Paul says, for a great and effectual door has been opened to me for the word of God and many adversaries. He was practical. And what concerns me about how we got here today as the people of God is that we've fed you so much impracticality that you can't even find your way. Or when God brings you into a blessing, it's like a revolving door. You're in and out almost in the same breath, and you don't know what happened. Because in your mind, when you enter them, you would rest from your labors. With all of the things, things would be easy. There'd be no more hard work. People would just fall in love with you, and you'd be just this perfect so-and-so. That is not how it goes. And so I hear God saying to some of you today, enjoy the journey and prize the training. Because the better you are at resisting defeat, resisting depression, discouragement, etc., in the training process, the more enduring you'll be when God brings you into your harvest. And for some of you, several of you, your harvest is about to come. And God wants to make sure that it's not a turnstile blessing. You spin in and spin out, that it's not a revolving door promotion. You're in and you're out. You don't even know how you got out because you didn't prepare for resistance. When I look at the scripture, and you know, it's unfortunate that we took you all off the Bible. You know, so many preachers are telling you the Bible is not God, and it's not the real, it's written by men. I want to tell you something, so don't ever tell me the Bible is written by men, because I'm going to say so is your degree, your paycheck, your mortgage, your deed, your driver's license, and I can run on down the list. Everything you have that we prize and we cherish, and even the judgments on our lives, if that's so be the case, they're all by men, and nobody is despising it because of it. We can't say, well, the Bible is outdated. Are you kidding? We're living on a constitution right now. We're scrapping for our constitution. It can't be much older than that as far as our country's concerned, and still we value it. But we did that because as long as you don't use the one thing that destroyed the powers of darkness and destroyed the works of the devil, which is the word of God, you don't ever have to worry about entering into anything but hardship and calamity. And so I'm telling you, I didn't buy that. When God saved me, I was like, I'm not buying that. I'm not going to believe that. You will never make me believe that the word of God is not true today when folks still doing today what they were doing when they were writing it. You will never convince me of that. But because we've talked you out of believing the scriptures and believing the word of God and taking it at face value, you everything that you need God to do, you can't even discover. You can't tap into it. You're trying to get it by your spirit. Your spirit is not God's spirit. You don't know. Well, you're trying to understand a dream. I don't know. So we're trying to work God according to the culture of failure. We're trying to win God with the same things that failed God. You realize that. We're trying to win God's favor using the techniques and the methods that failed him. So we can't go forward. So I'm telling you that resistance is inherent to life, no matter who you are. I don't care if you're sitting at the top of the top or you're at the last of the bottom. You have to recognize that you must be as good at resisting your opposition as you are at pursuing your blessings and pursuing your reward. And you need to know that just because you get a reward doesn't mean that you are suddenly going to be the darling of the culture or society. Not going to happen. And so God is waiting for you to get those last-minute lessons. Today, for some of you, is that last-minute lesson. It's that last-minute talk. It's that last-minute thing to say, okay, 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1, You're standing in the wings, and he's fixing you up. And this word is straightening out your hair and straightening out your tie or fixing your necklace and fixing your skirt and making sure God is, that's what this talk is today, getting you ready to step out on the world stage, step out on the center of what God calls you to do, whether it's great, great, or in our, in someone else's estimation, small, small. It's still time. But God is trying to get us to be a keeping church because we are not a, a keeping people. We have lost a lot of things for this man. We've lost his kingdom. We've lost generations of children. We've lost nations. It's unbelievable. So God now is raising up keepers and resistors, fighters. And, you know, we talked you out of that. Because in peacetime, we can tell you to put your weapons down. But in wartime, we need you to turn your plowshare back into a weapon. Because you need to keep that which is being entrusted to you. And you need to understand that just because you got it doesn't mean that you just stand around and nobody else wanted it. God wants you to become good at keeping. And he wants you to know that you who have been raised in secret and you've been groomed in secret, you are the Solomons now. You know, I talked this week on Facebook about the Solomons, the Solomon rulers, the Solomon leaders. You're the promotees that God's going to promote. Nobody knows you. Nobody, as far as everybody is concerned, life is just hard for you, and God's not smiling on you, and it's just difficult, and where's God in your life, and what kind of stuff you got going on? Meanwhile, you know in your heart what the Lord has said, and you know in your heart that God told you he's getting you ready for a certain time, and so you've got, you know, Solomon is being groomed in secret, and who better to groom him than a man who had to be on the run for almost two decades before the word of God came to pass in his life. And that's his dad, David. And so he's got these brothers who are just, I mean, just chomping at the bit. They are just, they're making deals, they're willing and dealing, they're politicking and campaigning, they're doing all manner of things because somebody told them that you can just snatch and take it. But Solomon in the back, he's learning how to keep it. And long story short, when Solomon takes the throne, you don't even realize that this is the guy that this kid was at home learning when his brothers were out there trying to take. You don't even realize that till he sits on the throne. And all of a sudden, this mature, seasoned, well-trained, capable, competent, and capable person speaks. And when he speaks, you're like, well, where did this come from? It came from staying home, suffering to learn, and gaining and getting your lessons and acing your class. And so he stands there, and, yeah, well, God gave him wisdom. Well, you know, the Bible says that you can't get level two wisdom without level one wisdom. You have to have a germ of wisdom to even know that you got a seed of wisdom, and on you go. So Solomon was being trained by his father, and he said that. David said that before he died. He said, because my son Solomon is young. Now, can you imagine? He said, my son Solomon's young. Let's hope he stays with God. But I've given him everything he needs. He's got all of the plans. David gave Solomon everything, staying at home. We look at Jacob. Jacob got the whole thing, staying at home. His brother Esau out there, showboating, grandstanding, et cetera. But not him. And some of you all, not all of you, this doesn't apply to everybody, but for those of you to whom it applies, don't despise your home training. Don't despise your secret readiness because God is preparing you and getting you ready in secret. He wants to see if you can produce. He wants to see if you can sustain. He wants to see if you can deliver. He wants to see if you're a person of your word. He wants to see if you're gonna fight or take flight. He wants to know if you can stand or if you and withstand or if you will just retreat. God wants to know that because that determines the extent of blessings that you get. Everything in Scripture is about taking people who were nobodies, who were going no place, making them somebody and putting them over everything. And God wants you to know that today. That is his word to you, and I wanted to share it before I took the call because I think some of you all need to hear that. You need to know that God has a reason for why he held you back, why he didn't put you forward, why he promoted all of the brothers and the sisters ahead of you. He has a reason, because you are meant to be a long-distance runner for God. You're doing a marathon. He let all of the sprinters go first because he knew when you got to the finish line, you would have something, and you'd bring something to the positions and bring something to the opportunities and the breakthroughs that he's giving you. If you can suffer in silence, you shut your mouth, you deliver. You stay faithful, you continue to pay your tithes. You stay with the church. You continue to serve the man and woman of God. You finished your training. You did your homework. You did your classes. You completed your schooling. Whatever it is, and for each and every one of us, there's something different. But you have some tangible end product and end result, a solid resume to prove to God and the world that you are able and you can keep that, which is with, that he is entrusting to you, and that you will not only keep it, but you can increase it so that he keeps getting a multiplied harvest off of the wisdom and off of the fortitude that he has built in you over the years. That's my exhortation for you today, and I felt I had to say it. You know, Ashley, sometimes people just need to realize, just to hear, what is God doing in my life? Why is he doing this or that in my life? And I want to just let you know that I'm telling you, we're knocking on the door of a major, massive shift in the kingdom. And God is spinning. I see him spinning the table. He's turning the tables on so many things. And as he turns it, it's spinning around. And so many of you are going to be glad you didn't punk out, you didn't sell out, you didn't fall out. And that's what you're going to be glad about. Hallelujah. Prophet Ashley.
Oh yes, that I think that today's message, you know, lines up with the statement you made about leaders don't just prepare you for the win; they prepare you for the war, and how the war is for warriors. We want to talk about being prayer warriors, and I'm a warrior for Christ, and all these things. But whenever we buck up against a battle or a warfare, then we all of a sudden start talking about the devil is trying to take me out. And all these things. So we're talking the language of engaging in war, but when the realities of that kind of opposition hits us, sometimes we're in shock. And I love what you said about overcoming resistance and being taught and preparing to overcome resistance, and resistance comes with promotion. I put a star and circled it and, you know, doing all kinds of things on that statement. I'm sure I'll probably put it in my phone to remind me that resistance comes with promotion. And I, you know, you are a wordsmith, and so you don't use words lightly. So looking up what resistance means, in even in comparison to what some of the other words mean that we throw around in this here fight, is a wake-up call, because we are on planet Earth, and this is what we have to fight with, and this is what we are dealing with, and that's okay. When you're talking about Joseph, I think what stuck out to me the most, what it led me to think, I should say, the most, is that God will continue to allow us or put us in positions where he needs our reflexes to be to fight and not retreat, to fight for something instead of always running from something. Because for some people, they're natural fighters, and they're always just going to fight, and somebody has to tell them, stop fighting. But by and large, a lot of people are like, oh, my goodness, it burned me once, it burned me twice, it's not going to get me again. And so he has to keep throwing us in positions where there is something at stake that we have to fight for, whether it's our finances, it's our family, so that we get that fight mentality on instead of the flight mentality. So I really appreciated today's message.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I know I did. And I tell you the truth, I thank God for being able to speak to his people in such a way and in such vivid terms, because today is not the day for vague and obscure and ambiguous or allegorical. Today we need to hear from God plainly. Okay, God, what is the deal? What are you doing? What aren't you doing? What am I doing? Why am I constantly running contrary to your will in terms of or my expectations on your blessing? So yeah, it means a lot to me to help the saints get ready. But I'll tell you, truth, Ashley, something awesome is about to happen, just that's going to pop a bubble in the body of Christ, and it's going to be real, real great for some people, a lot of them, and it's going to be quite sorrowful for others, because that's life. That's just how it goes. And I think that, you know, having great faith in God should not tip us all the way over to plain insanity and irrationality. And if it does, then we have a problem, because, you know, for all of the times that God does the irrational, the routine for God is the rational. God is routinely rational. He's routinely organized. He's routinely orderly. He has patterns for a reason. And so even though they may pop up suddenly or pop up in irrational settings or in rational timing, they're still quite rational, and they still fit his pattern. And that is what God wants us to know. He's been giving me a word, and I'll probably talk about it later on in another show, about understanding the operation of his hands. That is important if we're going to wrap our heads around how he thinks and the way he does things, and embrace ourselves for entering into who God really is. So, Ashley, I think I got time for a couple of calls. I definitely want to take a couple of calls because, you know, that's the best part of the show. So who do I have lined up?
Well, Dr. Price, you have lined up today a new caller, at least I should say someone new asking for prayer. They may not be new to the show, but this is Trinell from Louisiana. He is calling because he just wants some prayer. He wants to see what God is saying concerning his life and prayer in general. So, Trinell, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, Trinell. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am all blessed up and excited in God. What's going on with you? Why do you sound so downhearted? What's up?
Well, I'm just going through it and just need a prayer. I do believe I've been called. Just looking for understanding and wisdom.
Well,
on
I
the
can
next step.
I can appreciate that. Who is your mentor, Trinell?
I was looking for, I don't have one. I was told to find a mentor because I've been called to be a prophet.
Okay. Well, a couple of things need to happen. You do need a mentor because there is so much happening to you between you and God on the inside. It's getting muddled up in your feelings and your emotions and your impressions. And so it's a little bit of a quagmire in your soul right now and a little bit in your spirit. But, yeah, you do need that. The first thing I would like to encourage you to do is when this call is done, go to my website and take my prophet's assessment. It's going to give you some solid answers. I'm going to pray, but you do realize that a 30-second prayer can't cover a 40-year life.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to tell you to do that. The second thing is when you do, once you do the assessment, and you schedule with your advisement, then you can even tell the advisement, I'd like to get more time for more counsel, et cetera. And until you can find an on-the-ground mentor, we have awesome mentorship programs that will help you stay anchored and also work through the difficult things, because things are just very muddled for you right now, so that you can work through and clear the air a little bit in your prophetic calling and in your destiny. And also, you know, I want to deal with the fact that you just feel downhearted and saddened. God said that what he told you is what will happen. It doesn't make a difference who believes you, doesn't believe you. You know, me talking about Joseph today was good for you because it doesn't make a difference whether so-and-so gets behind you or not. That's not, God doesn't work on people's belief in us. He works on his call on our lives. When he's ready for us to be promoted, he just flicks a button in people's hearts, and all of a sudden they see us the way he sees us, and they believe us because of what he put in us. So that's what I want you to know. The second thing is God said you do need training. You just can't run on your instincts. You need training. You need training because what happens between you and God, that's wonderful. But see, when God sends you to the body, you've got to learn how to deal with this world in the flesh, and it has different rules. And so you need somebody to help you navigate that water, to kind of work around what's happening in the world. So those are the counsel that I would like to give you. Number one, just to reiterate, number one, you want to take that assessment. Number two, when you get your advisement, tell them, I want a little extra time. They'll tell you how to make that happen so that you can get some wisdom. You have a lot of questions and you need it. Number three, seriously consider our mentorship programs in the meantime to fill the gap until you get that mentor that's in your sphere. We have people that we've mentored for 5 and 6 years in the prophetic, got them in a position. They've gone to school. It's just been wonderful. So it is something that works. We have proven products, but we also have proven evidence and proven truth, fruit. So I want you to consider that so this aloneness will get off of you, because there is just, you being alone is making you quite vulnerable to some very scary things. So, okay, so and I'm going to pray now that we have that, but I wanted to give you that advice. And remember, Trinell, when this is over, you can call a link and you can hear this word again and again and again.
Okay.
All right? Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Tranel. Lord, I thank you for your call on his life. I thank you for the journey that he's had to get to where he is. But now, God, I'm asking that you would deliver him from aloneness and deliver him, Lord, from the confusion and the craziness that's happening even in his mind. You know, Lord, I know when you begin to wake up a prophet, all kinds of crazy things try to come against us and come in our minds. I'm asking that you would shield him. I cover him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking that you would cause him to connect with the mentor that is right for the destiny that you've inscribed on his life. And I'm asking that you would continue to hold him dear. Lord, as you lead him through the assessment and the advisement, God, speak through everyone. Right now, I'm asking that you would just make sure nothing comes to him that isn't speaking directly from your mouth right now. And for a season, that he only encounters the right and that he only encounters the true. I'm asking that you watch over his house, his business, his family, his friends, and Lord, everything that pertains to him. Cover him, wrap him in your protection, and fortify the hedge about his life. And we bless you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Keep me posted, and don't forget to take that assessment.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. God bless you. Mm-hmm.
God bless.
Prophet.
All right. I love it when the South calls in. Next on the line, we have what did you say?
I said, me too, I do.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready for who's next?
I am.
Okay. We have returning to the show Nathan from Michigan. He had called before concerning a job situation. He said today's message was definitely for him. So, Nathan, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Good afternoon. How are you, Dr. Price?
I am wonderful, Nathan. How are you doing? It's good to hear your voice again.
I'm hanging in there. You know, you pray for me on April 3rd for my interview, and, you know, the interview went well, but I didn't get the job.
Remember, Joseph.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just remember.
I was listening. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to that one a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want you to know one of the things that I've learned, you know, one day I'll be able to share my story and its fullness. Did I lose you, Nathan?
No, I'm here.
Okay. One day I'll be able to share my story in its fullness, but I have found that God is getting us ready, but depending on how long he's going to use us, it's determined by how long he tries us and proves us. And it's apparently
right.
For God has for your life, there's a major institutional thing that God's going to use you for. And each step of the way, each experience is getting you more and more primed for it. You know,
okay.
And when you've come up a certain way, I can share this with you because I've lived it firsthand. When God brings you up a certain way and he brings you out of one institution into another, there is that wilderness experience for you to shed the old.
Right.
And want the new, not just be able to embrace it because you need it, but to begin to hunger for the next thing he wants. And so when God has, he'll do the sharing, and then you get the hunger. And all of a sudden, you're craving the exact thing God wanted you to do all along. And then you're ready to do what he wants or to go and walk in the footsteps that he's laid out. So it seems to me, I don't think our lives are very different. I don't think our paths are very different or the journey that we've traveled. But it seems to me that the Lord, for sure, wants to get you ready for something that is very extensive, very weighty, very involved, but most of all, long-lasting.
Okay.
So don't lose hope. You know, I mean, whenever we sit down and talk, I hope we get to meet soon. I'd love to share some great ideas, but also some great things that I've walked through and lived that give me the wisdom that I have today. I would love to share that with you. So I pray that that is the will of the Lord concerning us. But
okay.
God says to tell you, don't lose hope. Don't lose
okay.
hope. Amen?
Amen. I receive
okay.
that.
Is there
Thank
anything
you so
else
much.
You want me to pray for? Well, let me pray now. You know, I don't let you go without
oh.
a prayer now.
I know.
You still be... Got to have a prayer because you know what? That's the purpose of why we're doing this. Father, thank
yeah.
you Lord, I thank you for Nathan. I thank you for his life. God, I thank you for the Joseph bounty that's on his life. And I'm asking, God, that you continue to give him hope, encourage him, and, Lord, give him patience. But, God, order his steps. I see you turning his head to look in a new direction. God, touch his heart so that he's willing and yielded to the new direction that you have him looking into. I thank you, Lord, that the days of idleness for him are over as far as ministry and as far as your service is concerned, and that he's ready now to go into, walk into the place that you want him to walk into, and to bless him when he gets there. God, cause people to see the work you've done in him and to see his compatibility with what you called him to do. God bless you for doing it, Father. Amen and amen. Before you hang up, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What state are you from again?
Michigan. I'm originally from Chicago. Originally from Chicago, Illinois, but I'm living in Grand Rapids right now.
Okay. I want to ask you a question, and this is just while I was praying, it showed up. I know you're in Chicago. Do you still have connections back in Chicago?
Yeah, all of my family is in Chicago.
You know, don't be opposed to something coming up out of that area for you.
Okay.
When last have you visited home?
I was just there probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I see you. What I saw was there is a particular location that I always go to when I'm in the area, and I saw you standing outside of that very location. I know it was to let me know where it was geographically located. You were standing out. Your hands were in your pocket, just standing outside, but then you began to turn and walk into the place. It's a temporary thing. It's not going to last a long time, but be open to it.
Okay.
And I'll be glad to hear what it is, because God seems to be setting something up for you in that area. That's why I was wondering, like, why am I thinking? But where I am is not Chicago. But it was Illinois, and I wanted to find out if you had anything to do there. But beyond this Illinois thing, there is something from the South that's calling you too.
Yeah.
So be open to the priorities, because they have to come in a certain sequence. But those are the two things that I do know.
Okay.
All right. It's good to hear from you again. Hope we connect soon.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Love you.
Love you too. God bless. Prophet?
All right. The things are rolling in. Keeping them strong and staying focused. It was so funny when you were giving your word. He had messaged that he was probably going to call in, and at the moment that he said, "I think this message is for me," I messaged, "This message is for you."
I love it when God's in charge. You know, I love it.
Absolutely.
Who else do we have?
Okay, today we have Marla calling from Connecticut, and she said, when I clicked over, she said, "Is there any chance I'm going to speak to Dr. Price today?" And I said, "You're next in line." And so she perked up. So Marla is calling about the direction was what she gave me in a word for the next phase in her life, I guess. So Marla from Connecticut, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi, Marla. Is this our first time talking?
No, I spoke to you one other time. It's been a while, though.
I remember your name.
How are you?
I don't get a lot of Marla. and I remember your name, and now I remember your voice. How are you doing, and are you part of mentor yet?
Kind of, sort of. Wow, you're good.
Do I want to pursue that or not?
Kind of, sort of. It's not finalized yet, but kind of, sort of, yes.
Okay. Well, how can I help you today?
I'm calling for prayer for direction for the next phase of my life, that I make the right decisions.
Are you closing out a phase? It sounds like you're closing out something.
Possibly.
Right. Well, let me just go ahead on and take the lead, because your heart is broken over something, so I'm just going to go ahead on and take the lead on this. How about that?
Yes, ma'am.
you are closing out something. I see you stepping away for some things that you really are kind of late. You're 9 months late stepping away from them. And you've been stepping, here's the thing. When you started it, it was an okay thing, but then it put you in a dark place. And I see you stepping out of a dark place into a lighted place. So it's time. It's time for you to make some changes. And you're right, that restlessness you're feeling, that's God. That's truly the Lord, because he wants you to move into something else. God said, I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. Now, you know how you hate when God messes with your comfort zone, because you have it worked out, you know. And God has done this to you 3 major times in your life, and it has just put you in a tizzy. Usually when he moves you abruptly, you are like a woman in shock, you know. You just, oh, my God. And, this is what you say to him. Lord, if you just told me, I would have been there. When he tells you, you start fuming and fussing about you're not ready. So either way, you know, it's like a no-win situation. This time, God said, move with grace and diligence.
Okay.
And let him trust that that he knows you. Here's what's interesting about your relationship with the Lord. God and you have an amazing, amazing partnership arrangement. You really do partner with God. But my goodness, you've got to bluster every time he wants to do something different. But God says, I want you to relax and trust me on this one. Now, here's the deal. You've had so many false starts and false, you know, smoke and mirror things in your life. You don't trust a lot. Even where you are right now, you are kind of grieved because you don't trust a lot. But where you're going, when you step out of this place you're in and step into the next place, oh, my gosh, it's going to be clear sailing. You are entering a place of clarity. You walked into this dark place because you were following somebody's advice and somebody's lead that promised one thing, and they were smoke and mirrors. And it just took you off of everything, that would have been where you are. You're grieving a little bit because you felt like had you just stayed your course, you'd be in a different place. Here's where God wants you to feel at peace with. That was in the plan.
Yes, yes.
That was in the plan. You know, even the misdirection, which is what you had, that misdirection was in the plan because it was to regulate you for you to be ready when the thing that God ordained you for, your destiny, if you will, is ready. Now your real destiny, the purpose for which you were put on the planet, is ready. And here's the beautiful part. You're ready for it.
Okay.
You're ready for it. Now, you don't feel psychologically ready because you're kind of like how David felt. You know, I'm tired. I'm just whatever, God. You know? But that's where he needs us. That's the place of least resistance where he can just pick us up under our arms and just pull us over to where he wants us to be. Now, so you're going to have to forget what happened. You're going to forgive a few folks and forgive yourself and shed some stuff. Because where you're going, you have to go with a bright, sparkling spirit. God's going to visit you over the next several days. I'm looking at about 3 days. You're going to have there's a move of God you used to have in your spirit when you first started out doing things for him, and then it stopped. That's going to resume over the next several days. God's going to move on you in the night season, morning. It's going in the middle, and you're going to say, "Wow, God, it's been a long time since I have just really experienced this with you." And he's getting you ready. He's washing away the old. He's purging. He's carving some things out. He's implanting and grafting some new things. You are going to make yourself available. He'll tell you when. Make yourself available for the next thing God is doing. He has to prepare you spirit and soul for it, so that your body won't collapse when you enter it.
Yes, yes.
Amen. So make yourself available. I keep saying this because, see, that's not easy for you. You're a busy woman, and you're just busy with busy. You like busy, and busy is good for you. You like busy. You're going to help people, and, I mean, it's amazing how you do stuff. You go to the malls. I'm going to go to the flea market with you. I'm going to help you. You just like people. You're good at what you do. But this season of your life, you need to make yourself available to the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And when you do, all of the other things, especially the things that you need to close off, because I see that you have some things that need to be closed off, and you have a couple of bleeders in your soul that need to be closed off. God's going to do that for you. Are we clear? Did I lose you? Ashley, did I lose her?
Let me see here. She's still there. She's still on the line.
Okay.
Maybe Marla, are you there? Yeah, she's still showing up as being live.
Well, I don't know what happened. I'm not hearing her voice. I'm wondering if she's hearing up.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and pray.
Marla, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you just leave me? What happened with you?
I don't know. I was saying yes.
I wasn't hearing you. Okay, well, I want to pray before I let you go. And then you'll keep me posted on how you and God work this out. You're going to step into this new thing rather soon. And with it, there's a little bit of a journey, but your journey is changing. So stop expecting hardship and difficulty. It is changing. You're coming into a good day and a good place.
Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You're welcome. Let me pray before you go. Father, thank you for Marla. Thank you for her life. Thank you for all of this she's done. God, she is just a warrior and a fighter, and she's been standing a long time. So, God, I thank you for performing every word that I've spoken over to her and caused her harvest to come and her future to break through the barriers and the fog that have been chasing her and really kind of dogging her heels. God, give her victory, give her answers and revelation. I speak this word to anoint her for your visitations in Jesus' name and bless you for it, Holy Father. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Dr. Price. You're awesome.
Thank you, Marla. Keep in touch with me.
Okay. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Ashley, I think I got time for one more if it's quick. What you think?
And one more I have for you.
Oh, good.
We're going to stay in the Connecticut side of the world here and connect with Linda. Sit in the middle. Linda is back on the line, and she's wanting prayer. She's wanting some counsel concerning selling her parents' house. There's a lot of things going on in her family dynamic, and she needs some God direction. So, Linda, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you today?
I'm fine, Linda. How's it going for you in Connecticut?
I am doing good. I am doing good. Thank God.
Well, great. Well, since we only have a short time, let's jump to what it is that you need so I can cover it.
Okay. It's just the situation that's going on is that, you know, my parents are at the point where, they sell their house and move closer to my brother and my sister, and then we have my brother who is, he's 50 years old. He's been medically diagnosed with bipolar, and they say borderline schizophrenia, but schizophrenia is schizophrenia, I guess. And he just is really, takes over, the whole house practically. And, there's, some kind of a soul tie there. And my mother won't do anything if he doesn't want to go. And, so I want to know, I don't know what's best, and I just need the wisdom of God, which you have an overflow of you know, really how to handle this.
Wow. Well, do your parents want to leave their home?
They need a different space setting where if they go for, say, a condo or something, maybe that would be more helpful, where my mother can have a kitchen that is big enough for her, and, maybe my dad could get, a master bedroom where he has his own bathroom there. So in that sense, they would like to, because the house doesn't really work for them the way it is. But there's just a lot of other things that seem to hold my mother back from wanting to.
Well, see, Linda, it sounds like this is a situation that you want for them more than they want for themselves. And
okay.
you're being a daughter, and that's normal. You're being a loving daughter. You want to help them. You want to step in. But they don't seem to want you to step in.
Okay.
Am I close to this or what?
Yes, you are.
So you want to step in and you want to help because you can see the issue, but they don't want your help. The best you can do at this point in time is pray for God to touch them enough for them to want help or to bring the situation to a point where they'll accept your help. Otherwise, they're going to resent you. If your mother has a pet son, see, I understand about them pet children. If she has a pet son, you are not going to be a hero for trying to help them out and getting him out of their lives.
Right, right. Okay.
So my suggestion is that you stay in the prayer closet on this for a little bit, and unless they told you that they need it or you've got the authorities in there saying, you know what, this is a dangerous situation for them, if those are not the extremes that are happening, you're going to have to stay as a very concerned but outside party and pray, because strange things happen in homes and in family situations that the people who don't live there cannot even relate to, and those bonds are real.
Yeah, yeah.
So my prayer for you is that you will be at peace. You know that they need help, but they don't want it yet, and they will end up kicking up at you, and it'll turn very ugly when you can just let God take control. So I'm going to pray that God steps in this situation, that he, first of all, reveals it to you the way it is, 100% the way it is, and not the way you are feeling about it, because a lot of times our emotions about a thing determine our logic, and that may or may not be the case.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have great concerns, and I'm sure you probably have good reasons for concern, but you can't force your will on them.
Yes.
So that's my counsel today. So I'm going to pray because we only have a couple of minutes. Father, thank you for Linda. God, step in the situation. If you know it needs intervention, then I thank you, Lord, for engineering and motivating circumstances for that intervention to happen. And, God, I thank you that wherever Linda is grieving and hurting, that you would give her comfort. And, Lord, but cause her to see the truth, the whole truth, Father, from your eyes and not just from her concerns. And I bless you for doing it and working this out for the good. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And thank you so much.
Thank you, too. God bless you, wonderful woman of God. We'll talk soon.
Yes, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Ashley.
All right, that's my Linda right there.
That's your Linda. Well, Ashley, we have come down to it. We have had we've had a great time. I don't think I can probably cover another caller in about, a minute and a half.
No.
Well, now, especially now, we're about 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes more to go. So, Ashley, is there any closing remarks or announcements? I know you want to talk about our forum and a couple of the other things we got going on.
Well, I have Prophet Adia on the line. If you want her to give a shout-out really quick.
Let her do it. Come on. Shout-out, girl.
Well, hello, Paula Price Show fans and audience. A powerful show this week. We'll be back to our regular schedule next Thursday from 11 to 1 o'clock Central. But before we let you go, we want you to know about some things coming up. We want you to plan for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, which is happening the 19th through the 21st of June. And there is a bus coming down from the Chicago area. So if you live in that area and you would like to participate, make sure you go to www.antiochcaci.org so that you can find out more information about that bus coming down. When you visit the website, you'll see a phone number that you can call. You'll also see a contact us button that you can select as well so you can get some more information. We want you to join us. Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 19th to the 21st. It's going to be powerful. Starting this month, we'll be having some people on, some testimonies about the forum so that you can get a little bit of a taste of what you will encounter when you come out to see us. So we're looking forward to that. All the details on how to register for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum are online at www.drpaulaprice.com. You can make sure that you can register for our events there. Otherwise, make sure you click like Dr. Price on facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price and also find Dr. Price on twitter.com under @Dr. Paula Price. We have so enjoyed you all today. We want you to have a powerful week. God bless you.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. make a one-time seed, or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.